This episode of the UAV Digest is sponsored by Go Engineer, provider of design, engineering, and 3D printing solutions for the aerospace and unmanned vehicles industries. To learn more, visit theuavdigest.com/goengineer. And by UAV Propulsion Tech, a provider of propulsion, servo, autopilots, and rescue and recovery parachute solutions for the unmanned aerial vehicle market. For more information, check out www.uavpropulsiontech.com. You're listening to episode 122 of the UAV Digest. I'm Max Flight in Hartford, Connecticut.
And I'm David Vanderhoof, and this is the soulful sounds of UAV Digest After Dark.
David, what's going on with your voice?
I had a procedure done, and I won't let you guys down, but I think my voice probably will. So we're going to do the best we can, but you're going to have a quiet, melodic. Max is going to, not sure, he's going to probably want me to do this the rest of my career, but as I'm eating the microphone. So
yeah, snuggle up to the mic.
Yeah, so it'll be everything he tells me not to do tonight, I'm going to do just to get through the show. So with that note, we should get started. We've got DJI coming out with some real-time airspace restrictions and a flagship store, a new marketplace for commercial operators. The FAA gives a UAV registration warning. And last, another municipality regulates drone flights. So with that, I guess we should take it away and talk about the big breaking news of the week. So the big breaking news of the week was DJI issues a new geofencing system that you can turn off.
That's right.
But that's, you can turn it off, but that makes it safer. It's, I Max and I, before we started the show, talked about this, and we're a little baffled by the whole logic, but we'll, maybe by us talking through it tonight, we'll get through, we'll figure out what's going on. So what's your take on it, Max?
Well, first off, we should say that what DJI is doing here is they're pulling in real-time airspace information from geospatial environment online, or geo. And the idea is that this would create a geofencing situation that would accommodate things like temporary flight restrictions, TFRs, in real time. So things like forest fires or major stadium events, VIP travel, things like that would be picked up by the software, and so would restrictions around prisons and power plants and national parks and all those. And that would create geofences to prevent you from taking off or flying into those restricted areas. So that sounds good. That sounds like an improvement over geofencing that's sort of hard-coded into the system, in that they're bringing in real-time data, very current. So I like that. But as you mentioned, David, that there is a procedure or a process, I'll say, where operators can unlock that geofencing for certain locations.
Yeah, they'll be able to turn it off, but by turning it off, you're notifying DJI that you turn it off. And okay, and then I wonder, okay, so they're now responsible for the data showing that you turned it off in your UAV. And if you do fly and violate airspace or whatever, then can we subpoena DJI for that information showing what you were flighting, showing that you disabled it? I don't know that they're going to get any data about the flight during it was disabled, only that it was turned off and turned. And I don't know, Max, did they say you could turn it back on after you disabled it?
Well, in the press release from DJI, I think it talks about being able to temporarily unlock or self-authorize flights. And we should note that in order to do this, you have to have an account with DJI, a verified account. The logic, I guess, for this is that there are certain applications that may be in those areas that would be generally restricted where the operator has an authorization to fly there. So one example may be flying around an airport, right? Generally, you can't fly within 5 miles of an airport, but if you do have permission from air traffic control in that, they can kind of grant you that ability. So I guess I could envision that being an example of a situation where you would unlock temporarily the geofence around that airport. Now, it looks like in doing so, DJI, because you've got a verified account, gets a record of that or notes that, so that if you, as you say, run afoul of the law or cause some kind of a problem, there's this record that you were there. So it's kind of interesting in that regard. It starts in December, first in North America and Europe. I guess other parts of the world at a later date. And the way this is going to be implemented is via an update to the DJI Go app and also a firmware update to the drone, to the UAV.
Of which, of course, both of those are optional to the pilots. You know,
good point.
It's putting the onus, and I don't think I read anywhere about what the registration process is for you with DJI, what kind of information they're retaining of you on the drones. I wish we could get Brandon on to talk more about the details, but yeah, it sounds like a good idea, but it's one of those, the devil is in the details. A lot of ambiguity out there. Maybe over the next week or so, a couple weeks, we'll get some clarity on it.
Yeah, I'm sure. Now, this data, this geo data, comes from a company called AirMap. They're in Santa Monica, California. AirMap calls itself, quote, the leading provider of airspace information and services for drones. AirMap's real-time services are available to manufacturers through an API and through an SDK for application developers. But
and in English, that means what?
Well, that means that they make available to those who would write software that uses this data the tools required to bring this data into the program that you're writing. So that means that DJI or any other manufacturer, I guess, who signs up for whatever the program is that AirMap offers, would be able to use the hooks that bring that into their software. And in fact, our next story is kind of highly related to this, in that 3D robotics is doing just that. We have this item from them, a press release. 3DR collaborates with AirMap to integrate Flight Safety Zone software into the Solo app. Now, this is a little different approach. It sounds like it's the same data, but maybe 3D robotics is not setting up geofences. So what we see in this press release is that they will integrate, 3DR will integrate AirMap's information into its Solo smart drone app. The CEO and co-founder, Chris Anderson, says, quote, we want to make flying as safe as it is easy. Supplementing the Solo app with AirMap's robust and reliable real-time airspace information allows us to increase education with a seamless and enjoyable drone experience. So,
Welcome back to Drones After Dark.
Oh, dear. I think it sounds like it's the same data. It sounds like they, you know, have the same objective in terms of making users aware of zones that they are should be restricted from flying in. It sounds like, though, that 3D robotics is not implementing geofencing with this data, whereas DJI is.
It still can get turned off, you know, or you can reserve the option to ignore it.
So how many people drive their car every day and they turn on their car and it goes beep, 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 and they still don't plug in their seatbelt?
Yeah. It's sort of like copy protection on software. There's always a way to defeat it, to do something, to work around it. And that's the case here. I think if the other side of the argument is if this stuff was hardwired in so that there was no way to defeat it, I don't even want to use the word defeat it, but to ignore it, let's say, then, you know, that brings on problems of its own in terms of usability and that sort of thing. So I don't know. My take on this, David, is that I think it's a good step in that we're bringing to UAV operators real-time data that shows where you should not be flying. In the end, yeah, I think it still comes down to what's the human being going to do with that information, heed it or ignore it. But I think it's a step in the right direction.
And it shows that the manufacturers are acknowledging a problem.
Yes.
So, I mean, and they're acknowledging the problem over in DJI's case, they're going to sell a lot of drones this Christmas. And right. If this is installed in there, it's a way to protect the uninitiated to, you know, fly safe, even though they're not really, it's kind of putting the training wheels back on the drone.
Yeah.
You know, if you're just learning how to fly it and it tells you it won't fly there, that's a good way to learn the rules, you know?
You know, just for grins, I brought up Amazon.com and I just searched for just simply drone to see what came up. And it's amazing the amount of product that's in there. I think that the estimates for this being a gigantic year for drone sales in the holiday season, I think, is going to come true. There's just so many of them. They're such easily available and so forth. I don't know what 3D robotics timing is on implementing this exactly. I'm not sure if they said in the press release, but DJI says that in December they expect to do this. So it looks like at least DJI is trying to catch the Christmas rush.
And speaking of Christmas rush and retail, this is an all DJI. This show has been brought to you by DJI.
Not really.
But they opened a store. And I really question, is this their target market? And this is where they're opening a superstore? Way back in the day, I know what a flagship store was because I helped close one. Or when I worked for Franklin Mint, we had one in Beverly Hills on Rodeo Drive. And it never made any money, but it was a beautiful store. So DJI is opening up an 8,600 square foot store in Shenzhen, China.
Shenzhen, China, yes. Of course, DJI is a Chinese company. This is their first store. It's hard to believe that this will be their only store. I could envision them expanding into something like what Apple does or what Microsoft does, maybe in terms of stores. Maybe they're starting in China because it allows them to do the first store closer to home, kind of maybe perfect the layout, the products, you know, the whole experience that they're trying to provide to customers, and then maybe expand beyond that. Don't know.
I'm trying to figure out how big 8,600 square feet is.
It's bigger than my house. That's pretty good size, actually.
It's a good size retail store. But I'm wondering. I look forward to seeing photographs of it to see what actually they're gonna do. I mean, with 8,600 square feet, you could actually have a fly zone. You know. Pretend you're L&L Bean and put a lake in the middle of the store and try your fly fishing skills. You can try flying. I mean, you've test flown the drone in a retail store, right?
Yeah, well, not a Phantom, but a drone cage or something like that set up inside this would be a great idea. I'm sure that would sell a lot of product. In terms of motivation for this, the DJI spokesman said that, quote, we want more people to see and touch our products.
You're the leading drone maker in the world, and you're worried about people seeing and touching your products? That's really...
No, they're buying it sight unseen already.
We're going for world domination.
Yeah. All right. Well, a little south of China on that part of the world, down to Australia, we have an item. This is from Flight Global. Startup Arcadia Sky creates marketplace for commercial UAV hire. Now, this is an Australian company, Arcadia Sky, and they want to make it easier for you to find licensed commercial UAV operators. So they've created a little website to facilitate that.
They have, and right now in Australia, in the United Kingdom and the United States, after 2 months, they have approximately 180 drone operators in 74 locations, and they've received over 1,300 requests for quotes. So evidently, word is getting out about them. And what you do is you go to the website and you define your requirements on a request for a quote. So I, David Vanderhoof, want you to fly within 5 miles to check out the gutters of my apartment. And then I don't know. I get the impression that then it's kind of like a multiple quote insurance thing where it comes back and several people choose, make offers for you.
I guess so. Yeah, I guess that somehow there's a process for pilots bidding. that match your requirements to bid, and then they put you in contact with that operator. It's no cost to you, so I guess the UAV operator must pay a fee for this. I'm sure it's not free all around, but it's, you know, I went in there and I almost registered to try it out, you know, but I felt bad about putting in a fake request for quote. But I mean, it's an interesting idea. I'm curious to know, you know, how the UAV operators are vetted. You know, is there some process that vets them somehow, or are there some minimum requirements that a UAV operator has to have in order to get into the Arcadia Sky database? I don't really know at all. But I'm sure you wouldn't want a situation where, you know, some kid down the street with his Phantom can say, yeah, I'll do your real estate photography for you.
Yeah, well, we've already had that. And you didn't have a 333 exemption.
Yeah.
So our next story is from the FAA. We've talked a lot about drone registrations and registering your drones. And I've made a personal volunteer to become the registrar of drones. But I did it half-heartedly. Evidently, you know, where there's a will, there's a capitalist. And there are companies already saying, we'll register your drones for a small fee.
Yeah, you know, I tried to find one of them by just Googling around, searching around. I wasn't able to, but the FAA says at least one company is offering this kind of service. And they're saying, whoa, wait a minute, hold off. And the FAA's issued this statement, and they say that UAV operators should just sit tight, wait until the registration process is announced. Don't start working with any company that offers to help you with registration. Certainly don't be giving them any money to help you with that. And as we've said, one of the objectives of this whole registration process, as articulated by the FAA, is for this thing to be extremely simple. And if it's extremely simple, you shouldn't need to hire someone to do it for you.
Yeah, and ironically, the company that was posting quickly vanished like the day I was really sort of surprised at this. The notice went out. You could see a lot of tweets about the company that was offering to register your drone. And by the afternoon, the FAA came out with this press release. And the next day, that Twitter feed suddenly vanished.
Ah.
So, which is probably why you weren't able to find it. It was very, very quick. And I'm very proud of the FAA for, you know, catching on to this and go, whoa, you know, this isn't what we had in mind.
Yeah.
So another cheers to the FAA.
One interesting little tidbit from the FAA statement is they note that the task force, this is the registration task force, of course, is working on recommendations for a system that is, now get this, similar to registering any newly purchased product with its manufacturer. That's simple, right? If you're old school, that means fill out a card and mail it in. If you're with it, it means go to their webpage, put in your information, click submit, and you're registered. So it sounds like that's the kind of very simple process that they're hoping to end up with.
Well, that's, let's hope. It's still going to be a lot of data.
Let's hope. November 20th is
tomorrow.
Is tomorrow as we record this. Today as it's published. So, yeah, watch the press. Now, that the November 20 date is when the registration task force is to deliver their recommendations to Huerta, the FAA administrator, right, David? So it doesn't mean that we're going to hear on the 20th what those recommendations are, I would
imagine. But they are to be final recommendations is what I heard from the conference a week ago. So we'll... You know, we might have to have a early turkey dinner because we don't record on Turkey Day. At least I'm not going to, and that's next week. So we have to figure out. So we might be talking about registration early.
Yep.
But let's talk about now. Between you and me, Do you think Rob had anything to do with this next story?
Yeah,
we see resident dronophobe,
who's a resident of Chicago. Well, this came to us from our listener, Micah.
The Chicago City Council approved an ordinance regulating drone use, requiring that drones cannot fly above 400 feet and must be in line of sight and cannot fly within 5 miles of O'Hare and Midway airports. So basically, they just legislated what the FAA has pretty much said.
Pretty much. They added some things, it appears, in that there's restrictions on flying drones over schools, churches, hospitals, police stations, and any private property without consent. So that's kind of added in there. But, you know, again, it's the usual issue is does a state or a municipality have the ability to regulate aircraft in any situation, or is that strictly under the FAA's responsibility? So,
well, I think we all need to protest and take our drones out to Meg's Field and tell them to screw them.
Okay. Go ahead. I don't know what the penalties are. I didn't.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing that says I can't fly at Meg's Field.
All right.
You know, Meg's Field now is a concrete park. They closed that right in the middle of the lake.
That should be safe. O'Hare, I'd stay away from.
I wouldn't go near Midway. I wouldn't go near O'Hare. But yeah, Meg's Field, they bulldozed that time to go do some flying out at that field. Well, we have a, as my voice is disappearing, a video of the week. You want to do a little talking about this, Max?
This isn't so much a video of the week as it is an invitation for your videos to be submitted to DroneFest, the International Drone Film Festival. Now, it's both a film and photography competition. There are categories for video and there are categories for still. And this is going to be held in conjunction with the SkyTech 2016 Drone Expo. That's in January 2016 on the 27th. So you can submit to DroneFest through December 13th. 2015. So time is kind of short. If you have some videos you've taken or some still photographs from your drone, you can submit them. If you'd like some more information, we've got a little webpage up that you can go to learn more. Just visit the UAVDigest.com/DroneFest2016. Give that a click and you'll find lots of information about the festival, the different categories, how to submit, and all that is there. So we invite lots of you to submit your videos.
And with that, I think we're going to call it a night. I'm going to apologize to all of our listeners for a shorter than normal episode, but we do got some stuff coming that will make up for it.
So I think, Max, should we call it this a wrap?
I think we will. We'll give your voice a rest. We want to thank all of you for listening to this episode, episode 122 of the UAV Digest. As always, you can find us at theuavdigest.com. And if you want to go straight to the show notes for this episode, that's theuavdigest.com/122. David, do you want to do the social media stuff, or would you like me to cover your voice on that?
I think if you want to find us on social media, you can go to Twitter, and that's at uavdigest.com. You can find us every weeknight on Facebook, and that's facebook.com/theuavdigest. And if you'd like to help the show, leave us some feedback on iTunes or Stitcher. And, of course, you can buy some swag. The holidays are coming, and you know you want that UAV Digest t-shirt. And last but not least, you can become a patron. And those give us the ability to do the event that you're going to be doing this coming Sunday, Max, which is we should give a shout-out to our friends at the Kashmir Foundation and their flight.
On Sunday, yes. They have an event in Northern Virginia. Be down there for that. They're doing good work with anti-poaching efforts using UAVs. And there's a competition. We've talked about that before, a competition to create low-cost drones that can be used as an aid in anti-poaching efforts, things like rhino horns in Africa. So we're going to go down there and take a look at that. So very much looking forward to it.
That's the UAV Digest South's team are staying home and the UAV Digest North team are going.
That's right. You stay home, take care of the voice.
So with that, I wish you safe flying and melodic tunes as we say goodnight to all of those people outside of the United States and across the world who listen to Max and I. So this is David in Philly.
And Max in Hartford.
Thank you for listening.